They kill people where I live. They shoot them dead for no real reason. You don't duck, you die. That's what happened to my brother Jason. He was 7. Playing on our front porch, laughing. Then some man ran by yelling, "He gonna kill me! He gonna..." Before the man finished saying what he had to say, a boy no older than me chased him up our front porch steps. The man yelled for Jason to get out the way, but Jason just stood there crying. Right then, the boy pulls out a gun and starts shooting. Bang. Guns really sound like that, you know? Bang. And people bleed from everywhere, and blood is redder than you think. Bang. And little kids look funny in caskets. That's 'cause they ain't meant to be in one, I guess. My brother died 2 years ago, but I can't stop thinking about him. And I can't walk in the house through the front door no more because of the blood. My mother says it's gone. "See," she says, pointing to the porch floor and the gray wooden chairs. "Long gone." But I can still see it. I can. So I come into the house through the back way, stepping over the missing stoop Jason used to put his green plastic soldiers in, opening the iron gate that my dad put up to keep trouble out, going inside the house and not looking at my brother's room, because if I even see his door, I cry. And a 13-year-old boy ain't supposed to cry, is he? The day Jason died, I was with Journey, a horse. She stays at Dreamalot Stables, not far from where I live. It's a broke-down stable where kids hit her with rocks and try to make her eat sticks. But my father, he taught me and Jason to ride Journey and brush her good. So even though she ain't ours, Journey likes us best. The man who owns the stables and rents out broke-down horses for $5 an hour would let us ride for almost free, long as we clean Journey's stable first. So that morning, after my mom and dad went to work, I left Jason home by himself. I walked to the stables and brushed the flies and dirt off Journey's blonde coat. I swept up turds as big as turtles and rode Journey all the way home, up the avenue and past 7th Street, between honking cars, slow buses, and grown-ups who patted her butt and got mad when she broke wind in their faces. When I got home, Jason was on the porch. He asked me to play toy soldiers with him. I wouldn't. Journey was thirsty. So I went around back to get a hose so she could drink. That's when I heard the man yelling and Jason screaming my name. I ran to the front of the house. The boy chased the man up our steps and onto our porch. Journey shook her head and stomped her feet on the pavement. The gun went off. The hose in my hand soaked the porch, squirted the dead man, and splashed blood everywhere. Neighbors tried to pull it away from me, but I wouldn't turn it loose. That's what they say, anyhow. After Jason was gone, I saw a psychologist for 6 months. But my father didn't like that, so I quit going.
"You a man, not no sissy baby girl," he said,
when he found me one day behind the couch crying. My mother got mad at him. "I'm gonna cry all over my baby boy till I die," she said, hugging me. "Guess man here's gonna cry a while too." My father used to be in the army, so he don't cry much. And he don't want no boy crying all the time neither. That's what he tells me anyhow. A week ago, my mother told my father I needed help. "We all do," she said, sitting down on the living room floor next to me. "It's been nearly 2 years since Jason died, and it hurts like it happened this morning." My father stood behind his favorite brown leather chair. "I don't need no help. And him," he said, pointing to me, "ain't nothing that mama's boy needs but a good old-fashioned butt-kicking." I am not a mama's boy. But since Jason died, that's what my dad calls me. "People die," he said.
Little people die too. Get over it.
My mother jumped up. Her knee knocked me in the chin. I held my mouth because I bit my tongue and I didn't want her feeling bad about that.